To enjoy this and other great episodes on Patreon, check out the link in the description and subscribe via the Black Kluge tier for full access to over 100 exclusive episodes. For those of you who would like some QF swag on TeePublic, t-shirts, magnets, mugs, what have you, also click on the link in the description.
Artie, maybe it's a take makeup on.
You want to know something? I'm going to tell you something great about Beth.
Yeah.
She never moves her bowels.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Maybe once a month.
I've never seen. I've been
honest to God.
I've been away with Dana, like,
to the point that I'm afraid for her health.
We've heard.
Getting excellent reports on you.
Do you ever shut up or just misdirect yourself to punch
you're
her in the
face?
You're
sitting there, you're going to bring
just
me.
So shut up.
Robin, when you get an opinion on your own, I'll talk to you.
I've put out hit albums. I had the fastest selling album in history. What, are you going to be upset with Jason because he whacks off to your wife? I mean, that turns me on. And I got up and I pished. I don't want to be in a wig and a purse. I do that in my personal life. Yes. I'm like a woman who's been raped.
How much is Howard paying you a week? I'm paying you more, okay? Fucking give me a fucking break.
Now, look, I don't want to get into a long explanation. That's not what I came here for. My audience isn't here to laugh. I mean, Gary's got wife and kids. And if I leave, who the fuck is going to hire him?
Joe, hi. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Howard.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Man, nothing.
Listen, I think time you come out of the closet with Ralph.
Oh, please.
Because I know deep down, and I mean that literally.
All right, so I'm a homosexual.
You're a sword swallower.
Right. I'm homosexual. You're right.
Thanks, Alex.
Right. I'm going to tell you. I'm caught. Good. In fact, that's good. That would be easy. I'd love to be gay. It'd be so goddamn simple. But then when people ask me about why I'm separated from my wife, I just go, you know what? I'm gay.
I told you something. I will not say no. I told you it's a personal defect of mine.
You don't have to say no. All you have to say is, yeah, that'd be great. I could use the help with Casey. That's fine.
No, I don't want to be told how to say it. I told you my problem. I don't want to be asked. You don't know that?
Position.
No, you put me in a bad position. You asked me. Then I'm not a good guy. I want to be a good guy. Listen to me again. I'm going to say for the 15th billionth time since I've known you. Don't ask me if you can leave early. You know what you have to do, and you know when you have to leave. Don't ask me.
So that means when I have to work
when
late,
I say
can
yes,
I leave?
You can leave,
wait,
it means no.
Late, can I leave?
I have no idea what you make.
Really?
I have no idea.
I got a guy now who's finding out the real names and the occupations of what the people do who bully me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm kind of a fighter, so.
Welcome, folks, to QF, a podcast about Howard Stern. I'm Fillmore, as always, your host, a.k.a. Jim Fix. And with me, Sam, we're going to finish off this mask saga as best we can. How are you doing tonight, Sam?
I'm good. I'm so excited to hear Howard lie some more today. It's going to be great.
We didn't forget about this, by the way, guys. It was just a matter of being oversaturated. We had done about 3 episodes of it in a row, and then I think we both kind of got like fed up with his just bullshit. And lest anyone think it was a bit... his complaining is always a bit, but he really was pissed about it. There's no question.
Yeah, because he didn't get the top dollar celebs that he wanted out of this whole thing and the gift. He shit on the gift.
Yep. And so here we go right into the wrap up show from 9:02.
Gary, you've been in a similar situation. How do you think John is feeling right now? Like where you've given Howard like a gift and he's like trashed it.
I think John's feeling like, I get the show, you know, I know this could happen, but it just sort of sucks that it's me because I get the show. So I shouldn't be on the back end of this shit.
And he reaches the point of, how do I make this go away?
Yeah, yeah.
You can tell. I have to do?
You know, it was so awesome when John did that today because I once got a phone call from a publicist.
It's kind of funny because that just says it all. It's funny until it happens to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But John doesn't realize that is the show. So, of course, if you're in this atmosphere of Stern World, eventually it happens to everyone. If you stay around long enough, if you attach yourself to the show long enough, you could even be on the show like Artie. It's going to happen to you. He's going to shit on your gift. He's going to belittle you. He's going to embarrass you. He's going to fuck you. That's just the way it is.
I think what happens, what most people make the, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a mistake, but it's what most people that only get surface level and listen to the show sporadically and also listen, maybe they listen regularly, but they don't put much stock in it and they think everything's just a calculated bit, that even the anger or even the petulance is a bit, they get sort of lulled into this idea that it's like wrestling. It's all bullshit,
right.
You know, whatever. And then they don't realize that, you know, even in wrestling, there are guys that get broken limbs, broken fucking, like their knee joints gets fucked up. You know, it's like anything else. There's real people at the base of it somewhere, except for Howard, who's a complete human impersonator.
Well, that's the weird thing about it. It's like, I think what naturally drew people to the Stern Show was because you really felt like none of this was a bit. Like, these were real people's lives. These were real arguments.
Yep.
These were real beefs with celebrities. You just felt that way about it. And that's what draws everybody into the show. And then when it ends up, it's I look at it as, well, what do you expect? His example of how he treats other people, why do you think you would be discounted from that treatment? I mean, right. How many countless examples have you been given from not only celebrities and famous people, but just his everyday life?
Yep, absolutely.
Howard was trashing the shit out of somebody. The publicist called. The opening line was, how do we make this stop? So I get that.
Do you guys think Howard's overreacting?
No.
I think Howard's being Howard. I don't know that he's overreacting. I think he's just saying what's in that little back recess of his brain that people like to hear. You know, listen, sometimes you get a gift and you say to your friend, that, you know, your neighbor, how wonderful it is. But in the back of your brain, you're going, Jesus Christ, you know, they know I drink scotch. Why would they give me, you know, a bottle of wine or something like that? You know
I think I mean? It just shows that John doesn't have enough clout to get him a good gift.
What?
I think that's like it's Mike Ganji in the back talking.
That's, you know, hilarious.
Well, he doesn't have enough clout. Well, we talked about this ad nauseum with the first couple things about what John was able to give him and what, you know, whatever. But it's no different than the McCartney guitar. Did McCartney play it with the Beatles? No. But it is it still Paul McCartney giving you a signed guitar? Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And I really think it's not normal for celebrities to go on shows and present gifts either. This is show business. You know, once in a while, maybe for somebody's birthday, like, I don't know, Johnny Carson's birthday or something, or David Letterman's birthday, maybe. But just to present gifts, like, you're paying some pittance to this kiss the ring sort of thing. It's just bizarre.
Imagine being given a top-of-the-line 2024-25 Ferrari and then getting pissed because Enzo Ferrari himself didn't come from the grave and give you the first ever Ferrari.
I know. But that's what it was always going to be. It's never going to be enough.
You sent me a lousy fucking postcard from Egypt. Why didn't you bring me the pyramids?
Why didn't I partake in taking part of the tomb?
Yeah, no, sarcophagus. Just,
yeah, risking illegally taking artifacts.
I think he should be able to get him a better gift.
He said that only him, Robert Downey Jr., and Howard have those things. That's a pretty good gift.
No, it doesn't mean that those are the only ones that exist.
Right.
According to what Howard was looking at, there's 1,500 of them.
I think it's a great gift. I think, but it's not what Howard was looking for.
It's not Howard Stern caliber.
Look, John should be able to get him.
You know, Howard Stern caliber was from the dollar store. Let's be honest. What is he? Is he like some kind of antique roadshow fucking maven? Come on.
I know. It's not what Howard expected. Howard said multiple times in this whole scheme of things that he wasn't expecting a gift. And now that he got a gift, it's not the gift he expected. How can you follow the circle train logic for me, please? Somebody, please. Please.
Oh, it's like Joe Pesci when he's trying to sell those diamonds in casino to those Arab guys, those Israelis. And he goes, you better clean your fucking loop because there's no holes. There's no flaws in that diamonds.
It's Frank so Vincent. Great.
God.
A better gift. The best. One of the premier gifts or one of the premier props from the movie. Yeah.
What's better than the helmet of Iron Man?
It's not a used helmet.
It was
like,
used in the movie.
A helmet that was
not
used in the movie.
Worn.
It's a better one.
Listen, Steve, if I wanted to be super generous to you this Christmas, for $600, you could have that same thing, and I have nothing to do with Iron Man.
No, but it's not the same thing.
It is. I could order it right online.
Why don't we just mail him the remake of the Titanic ship from the movie? Send it to that palatial piece of shit mansion in Palm Beach. Steven Spielberg, wrap it up, put it on his front lawn, because that wouldn't even be good enough.
Why don't we just go back in time and put Howard on that fucking submersible?
I know.
It's not, no, because if that's the case, then John Favreau, Robert Downey Jr., and Howard Stern...
squished like a juice box when it's all done.
Have you seen the computer reenactments of how like online they did like a 3D imagery of it was most likely? And I was thinking, if you put Wig's body in there, you just see hair to hair particles fly out.
He'd get nothing. He'd be crushed so fast. Yeah. So would all of us. But I would take pleasure in that. So.
Oh, yeah.
They're not the only three people that have them.
Right. They have 1,400 in the wings waiting.
There might be Iron Man helmets, but they are not those helmets. They're not the ones.
You think it's different, John? Yes. I think Steve's right. But what Steve said, that doesn't mean it was actually used in the movie.
No, I agree.
It's the mold off of the what, but so yeah, there is a distinction.
See, I was buying into the whole thing Howard was doing today, that 1,500 helmets that were for sale for $700 was one of them.
But Gary, if I bought one of those helmets and put it next to Howard, it would look pretty damn close. Like, I don't.
This reminds me, this sounds like when I used to collect Beanie Babies and they give you a catalog and like which ones were worth more. So that's the ones you put tag protectors on. I mean, now they're just fucking useless stuffed animals in my parents' Tupperware in their basement. I mean, for real. The point is, Howard, this whole conversation sounds so childish and petty. And the more they keep doing it, which I think they're trying to dig their boss out of a hole, but then you're listening to it and it's just getting deeper and deeper.
It's too petty. It's like back in the day, this one of the most highly sought after status items was like a pair of Air Jordans. If you couldn't get Air Jordans, you wanted Nike Air something, like Nike Air, blah, blah. But then if you couldn't get Air, like you were low rent or whatever, and I got a pair of Nike cross trainers, but they didn't have the Air on them. And I took such fucking abuse from my friends. And they're like, well, why even bother getting it? And I go, look, we're working class. My dad's not spending $100 on a fucking pair of shoes I'm going to grow out of inside of not even a year. And also, I didn't like the look of those. So whatever. And I always thought that was childish. Well, this is on that level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I think people would be.
I mean, I was 10.
This makes sense now, you know, now you understand. You're right on par.
Able to recognize the difference between
the
two.
It's the difference between getting an original Superman costume that was used in the movie compared to somebody who made one later on.
Right, but I'm telling you, Howard's bragging point is, and we know that it's because he sent Ralph the email, the one guy he wanted to impress, and Ralph hits him back with, welcome to the club, I have one. But Howard's selling point is, me, Jon Favreau, and Iron Man himself are the only people that have these. That's awesome.
Howard should have something better. John, you better step up.
I would like to ask Jon Favreau if I can have some of the Legos from Elf that already beat up.
Ace, you're on the wrap-up show.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
I had a question or a point about that Iron Man. I worked in the collectibles business for 15 years, and it all started back in the 90s kind of with the relaunches of Star Wars Special Editions. And Don Post was the company that manufactured actual props from the exact mold. You know, you can get Darth Vader's helmet, Stormtrooper, Boba Fett, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's all just taken off from there. The writer, the director, the producer of the movies have no say in getting anything, especially nowadays. It's all the FX guy, the production company. Some people, you can even ask John next time he calls in, some people, writers and directors, have to sign something saying that they're not going to get anything. And so what Howard has is just a numbered piece from the exact mold. I mean, I have a Darth Vader one I bought in 1997, and for $500, it's still worth $500 a day. It's just...
Well, the key thing here is, it's like, think of a prop, or not even a prop, something larger than a prop, like a set on the old RKO studios or something. You would see these movies and you'd see, wow, I've seen that mansion before in such and such TV show. It's not like they had the money, even Hollywood at their peak, had the money to remake whole new sets every fucking time they wanted. It's nonsense. So the Iron Man piece is no different than the car on this set, this general store on this set. It's all the same shit. And yeah, the company owns it. They make the initial investment so that it pays off later on being used in the Twilight Zone or whatever else.
Well, it's no different than having the, you know, intellectual information and property of something like a tech. You know what I'm saying? So that's the movie's property. That's their intellectual property. And because there is a market such as toy collection or movie memorabilia or whatever, they probably do have to sign something saying, we're not going to give this intellectual property to anybody else. This is, you own this. yes, we can make models of said thing and give it to some people, which does make it worth something, Howard, by the way, but it's not going to be like exactly from what you want because you can't.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
The number of pieces, they come with letters of authenticity. They're made from the exact molding and props, but it's just,
As a so-called expert, on a scale of 1 to 10, how special so-called. Is what Howard has?
In all honesty?
Yeah.
An 8, because there's probably only 1,500 of them made. You know what I mean?
Is it like what we're saying? Is it one of the 1,500 I could have bought online? Could I have bought that?
I believe so, yes. I believe so.
Yeah, and if it's 1,500 made, there's over, I don't know, at the time, Lord, of like 250 billion, 350 billion people in the United States, like, or million, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So to a billion.
Let's restart that so I don't have to edit it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. So if there's 250 to 350, 350 million people in the United States, and there's only 1,500 made, that is special then. Because yep. you only made 1,500, and there's not going to be more remade. So that's your first set of those. There's only 1,500. That's something that's finite. So, yes, well, that is worth something.
Well, yes. Like when I used to, as a kid, collect comics, they would have second editions of things and third editions, and they'd obviously be worth less. And a first edition signed, first edition special cover, all these things, they all factor into it. And then the condition, like the quality, how good is it being kept? Is it in the box? All that stuff. When I read years ago how much Star Wars figures from the 70s are worth if they're still in the box, I almost cried because I had some of the rarest stuff. And I'm thinking, I would have forfeited my childhood and used those to, you know, like pay a mortgage.
I have a lot of Barbies I save. So like I have a lot of holiday Barbies in the box mm-hmm. and stuff sure. at my parents' house. And a lot of them are worth like a lot of money from the 80s, 90s.
But then they get anal about what's the condition of the box?
I mean, they're all fine. We weren't allowed to open them. It was kind of like it was fun to see them. But my mom knew that they would be special someday. So we just didn't open them.
Sure, absolutely. I think one of my girlfriends at the time, she was collecting Disney VHS, but she would buy a copy for herself to watch, and then she'd buy another copy that she would not open, and then she would sell later on, like, you know, perfectly, whatever, first edition. I don't know how valuable any of those are. They probably degraded over time, but they're still sealed if she still has them. I'd say they're worth nothing. But these days, there are people that still collect video, 8-tracks, 45s, you name it. So there's definitely a market somewhere internationally.
We have all the VHS of Disney tapes, but obviously they're open. But what I've heard is that whatever they're remaking and putting out now, some things are changed. So if you have an original, there's some things that are different in either the animation or some certain things in the scene that are considered not appropriate or whatever.
Right.
Like, I don't know what they did. They rewrote Disney movies at some point, and I don't know why. But so people seek those VHS tapes. It's weird. Right. It's a weird cult. I don't follow along.
You've got pervs looking for the, you know, screen grabs of Jessica Rabbit's Snatch and Who Framed Roger Rabbit. the original. I'm not joking. Like they or I it's bet. Spelled the letters spell out sex when the smoke clears. Like if you just, you know, if you just freeze the frame and see it in some of these
Ariel dick pics and the dick castle.
My favorite is the hanging munchkin in the Wizard of Oz.
I swear to Christ, Fillmore, my sister and I would stand in front of my grandmother's VHS and we'd rewind. We'd look for it. And when we saw the supposed hanging guy, we replayed, then we couldn't wait to show our cousins. We were like, oh my God, you have to see this in the Wizard of Oz. They're like, go, you know, they're going Wizard of Oz. And they're all walking down the trail. And then you just see all of a sudden this guy swinging from a tree. And it's the craziest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah. Once now it's in your consciousness. Here's the corpse.
I just couldn't believe it. I can't believe you just brought this up. I haven't thought about this in decades.
Movie lore, guys.
And you can clear that up with John next time he calls in, but I really do believe that it is. Like, I had David Prowse, who played inside the suit of Darth Vader, signed the one back in, like, 1998. And I said, how close are these to the authentics? And he's looking at it, and he's like, wow, this is just pretty close. You know what I mean? So, I mean, but it's just, they're just numbered pieces. And Ronnie would know if he was there. You can get driver suits and driver helmets because they only make three or four or five of them. And then, you know, you can get them. You can get game use shirts off of ball players. And I've had Hollywood collectibles from, like, Gwyneth Paltrow's dress from Shallow Hal because it's Shallow Hal.
So, Ace, you know how, I mean? Howard,
it's not Iron Man.
Ace, Howard should be happy with what he got.
I would be ecstatic if I had it. Number one, it's
but you're not Howard. I'm not asking that. Should Howard Stern be happy with what he got?
Oh,
because he received it from John himself. Yes.
Yes, he should be happy. It's kind of like fashion pieces. They always have, you know, the original Christian Dior fashion houses, the original pieces that they make. They always come up with new collections, but sometimes they bring back parts of old pieces and they put them in the new collection. But it's not like they're taking the original thing and they're sticking it at a model in 2024. That's not what's happening. They just kind of reimagine things. But
I've seen some of the auctions for it, like JFK memorabilia, like JFK's cigar box and stuff, and then Marilyn Monroe's dresses worn in films of hers, Ava Gardner stuff. It really is amazing that some of that stuff survives, actually. Forget that it goes on auction, that it's still somewhere. Star Trek original uniforms and props and stuff that are legit from the set, which look really ratty and shitty, actually, because of, you know, it's been 50 years, 60 years for some of these things.
Yeah, I think I looked at a dress. It was like Mary Queen of Scots or Elizabeth II. They were cousins. She had her beheaded, but she took her dress and made it into a curtain, and the fabric survived. And so they have it in a big glass thing. I mean, that's from like so long ago, and that fabric survived.
I tell you, one of the coolest things I've ever seen. One of the coolest things we ever saw was we were in St. Petersburg. That's Russia, not Florida, guys. And we were at the Hermitage Museum, and they had one section. I think I'm going to mention this. One section of a former czar's library with gold, ornate everything, exactly how it was. They literally took the room and installed it in the museum as it was, piece by piece.
I would be fucking fascinated. I used to look at like old photographs of, you know, like Tsarina and Tsar Nicholas and that room that they were killed in, and, you know, the gore of it all and just their entire palace. And it's so fascinating to me that these generations of monarchies that have, you know, over time, even things that now exist still in the British royal family, if you look at the crowns and the jewels and all that other stuff, it's amazing. Like that survives centuries. The carriages, the robes, the staffs, whatever. I mean,
disgusting.
Know,
it's disgusting that the amount of money they spend on these assets.
Absolutely disgusting.
But I mean, you're thinking, what if I could sell that? What would that fetch?
I know. And on top of it, just how things now look at around you, how things are made. Things are just not made the same way anymore.
No, like even look at manhole covers. They used to have this nice Art Deco design, and they would have made it like 70, 80 years ago. And then now they're just replaced by steel name, like faceless, completely replaceable fucking covers.
Even lampposts, you look at street lights in Buffalo, even in the 1800s or late 1800s, early 1900s, they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Remember Abel Ferrara saying one time in a DVD commentary, he said, when you film in New York, like just so you film on location, the reason why it costs so much is because the people that have built the place have already paid millions and millions of dollars to create essentially a set for you to film your movie. And so when you're filming in the Plaza Hotel, you're not filming at the Plaza Hotel. You're filming in New York, the Plaza Hotel, that you could replicate, but it costs you a lot of money, and you still probably won't get the right feel. If you want the Plaza, you got to get the Plaza, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I was watching things they started uploading things on Sopranos, like old footage of filming. And in the first season, they actually went to some lady's house in Newark, old lady, to use as Livia's house. And they she let them film inside her house. And then the cast, because obviously they had to keep going back to that house because Janice eventually moved in there, they replicated the house exactly. And they let the lady visit the set and stuff. But she was so sweet and nice. And the same thing with the Soprano home. It was actually somebody's home in New Jersey. They filmed in it for the first season. They let them film the backyard and the house and everything. Then they took exactly the same thing and they made a studio of it. It's amazing.
It is pretty cool.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ace. Howard, you're on the wrap-up show.
Hey, guys. Howard.
Hey, what's up, man?
So, I'm listening to this. I'm in the car. First of all, I am very honored that Jon Favreau would give me anything, okay? But listen, having said that, if you were going to send me something from the movie, it's not from the movie. You're missing the point. The point is that from what I'm reading now, this is a mold that they make millions of these. They're going to make thousands of them, or millions maybe. You understand?
No, I totally understand. We were like, John and I were saying
it's a mold. It's a mold of something from the movie.
I get it. You want something, Howard, from the movie.
But that's not what the guy said, and that's not what's happening. It's certain amount because of this collectible industry. They only mold a certain amount because that keeps the profits up, because it keeps the count of them low. That's how you generate that sort of thing. You know, it makes it popular because it's sparse. Duh.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. I have collectible Zippos that have now fetched like quite a bit of money that I don't smoke anymore. And I try to keep in good condition. Eventually I'll sell them. They're anniversary editions, stuff like that. Things they don't make anymore. They only made 100 of them and stuff. And they do it that way so that, they know that there are collectors out there. They know they'll sell them. They know that somebody else will buy them. And it increases the prestige of the market itself, like for that item.
Of course. What do you think? They're going to be Fisher Price and they're just going to be mass producing these helmets? What value would that have? They're literally creating a market.
Yes. They have to, and they want to self-sustain it. If you oversaturate the market, like I remember that Ghostbusters remake with all the female comics, like from SNL and stuff, like all the actresses, and it bombed horribly. But worse than the film bombing was they produced all these toys to tie into the film, and they took a bath on these things, and the companies lost money. They all lost money on it, not realizing that no one was going to buy that.
No, of course not, and it's because they thought, oh, well, the first one, all of that shit sold for a lot. And Stranger Things kind of kicked it off again because they had them in Halloween costumes as Ghostbusters. But that nostalgia is for the first thing, not the reproduced bullshit woman thing. And I don't mind a woman becoming a Ghostbuster if it wasn't for this fact that you're just doing it for that reason. That's not a reason.
No, and all they had to do to engender the goodwill of the fans of the original was to have some of them in there as even bit parts, just to give their blessing. None of them gave their blessing, and it was just I didn't see it. I saw clips of it, and I all the reviews so just said, shitty. It was just shitty, like message oriented crap.
They should have had Dave Chappelle, Cat Williams, and I don't know. It should have been like a black Ghostbusters, like a full-on hilarious all African-American cast Ghostbusters with fucking
that would have been fantastic.
Just ruthless fucking jokes. Just Richard Pryor-esque
or maybe
Eddie Martin in the 80s jokes. Like,
or maybe
please.
Three black Ghostbusters and one white one.
Yeah, whatever. like reverse it. I would have loved to see some fucking flagrant shit. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but John, I don't want anything.
I understand.
All I'm saying is if I wanted to honor someone because they've been in my corner the whole time and I'm sending them something, and I'm the director of the film and I'm sending them something special from the movie, that's a thing you could get. It's a mold. It's like if you took a mold of my head and you made a million of my head. Not something from Private Parts.
Right.
Appear in the movie. It's not a...
You're an idiot.
It's the same thing essentially that Ralph has. Ralph has a mold of the head made from the original mold of the Stan Winston Studios. It's the same thing.
So he's not understanding the law of supply and demand. Clearly, he needs an economics class.
And he doesn't understand. This is really more even telling. It's betraying. He doesn't understand how Hollywood works.
No, he doesn't, which is actually, now that you say that, really insightful, because he's comparing it to his experience on Private Parts, which I'm sure he had no knowledge of merchandising, because if he did, he would have done a lot more in that sector if he knew he could make a buck off of it, which is why he's pissed at people like Jimmy Buffett, who know how to merchandise their career correctly and make bank. Okay, so you are 1,000% correct on that. He's upset that he doesn't understand economics. The whole point of only making a certain amount of models, he has no idea how many models were made. That's the entire point. Mm-hmm. There were only, based on what I'm hearing from this other guy, they can only make a few thousand because that's a market. They're creating a market.
Yep.
All right, so let me throw this example out there. If I'm a Howard Stern fan and I want to get – Howard's going to send me something from the show, I don't want – a Sibian that you can get anywhere. I want the Sibian that was used on the show.
I don't want the original Sibian if you boil it in tar.
Imagine what that smells like. Fucking stripper pussy and old man farts.
Mold and regret. No pennies.
If you said to me, gee, Howard, can you give me a piece of memorabilia from the show? And I sent you a Sibian. And you said, geez, it's the Sibian you years ago. No, it's a Sibian. It's the same, just like the one we use, but it isn't the one we use.
It's one of 1,000.
Right.
That's something special.
But even if it was one of 50, it's still not the one that was used on the show.
Okay, hold on. I'll give you a different example.
Wait a second. I thought that this helmet was something that, you know, when you walk into Iron Man's lair,
right,
and he has that, you know, the laboratory, and he has like 50 of those Iron Man suits there. I thought this was one of the heads they used in the movie.
All right. I got a better example, Howard.
Why would they give it to you? Like, don't you think one of the cast members, if anything, would be the ones? What makes you think on a radio show that you deserve one of the three helmets used on a major hero story motion picture that made billions of dollars? Like, what?
Well, here's the real, like, let's flip it on the other side. Howard, I'm a huge fan. I'm John Favreau. I'm a huge fan of the show. Can I get, you know, I really love your show. Okay, I'm going to send him something. I'm going to send him my original megaphone that I've had since, you know, whatever, K-Rock or all this bullshit, or WWW, whatever. That's the original thing. Fine. That's because you own that, Howard. John doesn't fucking own the original mask, the original pops, nothing. That's why he's a fucking dullard. That's why he's an idiot. He's still going on about this like a fucking like, you know, we just played with James, the Jelly Beaner audio, right?
Yes.
And I don't want to play that. I don't want to. Even as a little fucking kid, he sounded like he needed a fucking pile driver to the head.
because
it was just, I know, I don't want that. That's not what I want. You know, he's an adult. He's not changed one bit from the time he was 4 or 5.
No, and he's intellectually just
stuck,
stupid. And he can't understand that you can't get that. Like, that's not something you will be, because it's not something that's able to be given. No. These things are all intellectual property of the movie studio, as they said, because once the movie studios figured out that there's an industry for this stuff, they don't allow that. That's their that's like saying, oh, yeah, you know, Apple, we decided to send, like, we're going to send it to the CCP and they're going to recreate all the same things. I mean, what? No, we're not going to give away our secrets about, or even fucking Colonel Sanders doesn't give away his fucking chicken bake.
Like, does anybody think Quentin Tarantino, like, sold, if he owned any part of Pulp Fiction, that he would have sold, let's say, the quilts in the back of the car that they used to cover the blood after Phil Lamar gets shot in the head, you know, or, you know, the wallet, the bad motherfucker wallet that, you know, Samuel L. Jackson has, the original. These are all things that, anyway, we're going over, like, old ground here, but it's,
it's all things that movie studios, music people, anybody in the entertainment world realized, once they realized the worth of these things, that's when they realized these are all things that need to be in a contract that are our property. This is our private property. This is our stuff.
But he should know this. He should know this about his own things. He's got a warehouse of shit.
I know. Why doesn't he give away some of the wigs? Sign them. I mean, come on.
Well, nothing like writing felt on felt.
Send him the big rock star hair wig from the movie, Howard.
Yeah, the Howard, the Henry, the Louis XIV wig. I love that one.
Yeah.
He had five Sibians. Four we kept in the box in case one breaks.
Put that on your pumpkin at Halloween.
Oh, my God. I'm totally doing that next year. That is such a good idea.
You can easily make – you can just take the top
with
of the sunglasses? Pumpkin and make it a nose. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Now, that's the one we gave to somebody. Nope, is that special?
No. Not so game then
that's
one.
That's your question.
No,
not game
of
one.
Of course. I mean, listen. If you're good – listen, I'm not such a freak that I need Iron Man toys in my house like Ralph.
You have to get one of those pumpkins that looks like a gourd.
Yeah. Yeah, big, you know, like really narrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right? I don't need that. I'm not that big a fan, but if the director says to me, I love you and I love what you did for my film and you're an inspiration and I'm sending you something from Iron Man and it's the same bullshit that everybody gets, it's not that special, right?
And Howard, aren't you also enclosing this thing in glass and like displaying it?
Yeah,
you
want something,
right?
And then I'm reading between the lines and I go, wait, he goes, no, by the way, just so you know, I think he got nervous. He said, this is just are we going under the tunnel? Oh, we'll be fine. Hey, let's see if the BlackBerry works in the tunnel.
Okay.
Anyway, don't you usually get cut off?
So it was a problem to mention the iPhone on Sirius, but not the BlackBerry. What a fucking idiot.
Don't worry. The BlackBerry might still work, but Sirius XM definitely won't.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that's good. Yeah, it still should be good.
Yeah, they wired the tunnel.
Ronnie says, I know, but Ronnie says it'll work.
Don't listen.
Anyway, that's my point. It's a nice thing. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to see him ungrateful. I wasn't asking Jon Favreau to send me anything. But I know if somebody said, hey, if somebody had been a huge help on the film Private Parts, I wouldn't send them the poster that you could get anywhere from Private Parts.
Oh, what a... He is such a piece of shit. It is the fact that analogy is horrible. And I love how he's like, I don't mean to seem ungrateful as I tell my driver. Yeah. You know, like he's such a privileged fuck. Right. He's talking to his chauffeur and asking him about the cell phone reception. But he doesn't mean to seem ungrateful as he compares this helmet. There's only a few thousand made out of in the same mold. And he's comparing that to a fucking piece of paper.
Yes, like that cost maybe $10.
Something that you throw a dart into at a fucking county fair. You piece of shit.
I would send them, you know, my wig or something. I don't know, whatever it would be that would be meaningful to somebody.
Oh, my God! What?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I'm speechless.
God, I gotta make that a drop. Note to self.
What?
I mean, he would argue, okay, I put on all kinds of wigs for Private Parts, obviously. Well, yeah, of course. But, you know, in this context.
Yeah, and then you decided to keep wearing them.
That sounded a little too familiar.
Wow.
I'm going to send him my beard.
I send him the fart man suit. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
That's on eBay and nobody's buying.
No one's buying it. It's just, how many years now? 10 years?
It's been on eBay forever.
Some guy's asking for like $74,000 for it or something.
The weirdest part about it is like, who would buy that and why, as his character keeps going down and that thing never gets sold, it's such an indication of his stature and relevancy right now in 2024, you know.
That would be like, okay, they haven't made it yet, but I'm really looking forward to buying this Rocky 7, you know, poster or whatever. You know, the Fart Man was never made into a movie. There was no value to that to be had. Why? Because it was Howard Stern. That's the only value. And it was on the MTV Awards. Most of those things aren't worth anything. I mean, you're talking about costumes. When it's music, it goes into the Hard Rock Cafe somewhere.
Yeah, I think that like Luke Perry, whatever outfit he wore that night on stage with him would be worth more.
I'd say so, yeah. To somebody, yeah.
Did it feel when you got that note from Ralph this morning? Was that just what completely deflated you?
Yeah, I mean, I was completely blown out. He goes to join the club, and he has the exact same helmet I do.
Oh, God.
With the eyes that light up.
He's saying that your helmet's more special because it's from John.
From John.
I don't have the exact same helmet. It looks similar. Anybody who knows this shit, you can look at them side by side and you can see they're not exactly the same. And I fail to see the distinction of, you got a great piece of film history.
It's not film history. It wasn't used in the film.
Oh, that's so fucking stupid.
No, it's not. Ralph, if this were me and I were talking about a cartoon, you'd be up my ass.
This is the producer of the show. I mean, this is shitting on... Never get a gift again, by the way. Everybody's going to listen to this and think to themselves, don't give this show anything. Give them zero zip. Or don't show up with a fucking thing.
Do what Mancow did. Send them a box of shit.
Yes, please. Mail them crap. Just absolute big dookies right in the fucking box.
FedEx turds.
FedEx every turd. UPS, ding dong, here's a pile of shit. I
they hand it to you from the end of a fishing rod. Here you go.
The producer should be saying we should probably curb this so we don't sully our reputation for how we treat people. But no, absolutely. Gary's nosediving into Howard's anus right now so bad that he doesn't even realize how shitty this is coming off.
Oh yeah.
Ralph, I guess that BlackBerry doesn't work in a tunnel. You don't hear me?
It's cutting out a little bit, Howard.
We can hear you.
All right. Well, I'll hang up if you don't hear me. But my point is that Ralph has a mold of the actual helmet that they use from the Stan Winston Studios. Did you hear that?
I don't.
Yeah.
That's not what I have.
You do. I read what it is.
You don't read what it is. You're wrong. It's not.
You can go on the internet now and buy the mold from the Stan Winston Studios. That's what it says.
But that's not what I have. I'm telling you, that's not what they sell.
But you got a real piece of shit.
Yeah, but mine's made of metal, fucker.
Ralph, if you get something from Jaws, you want the shark. You don't want a shark modeled after the shark.
All right.
Okay, so he just said, I could buy the mold from the Stan Winston Studios. I know for a fact probably some crank website popped up based on just this market alone to say we have the mold. And they're probably just selling some garbage, you know, to say that that's the mold. Because I doubt Stan Winston Studios is advertising a mold to make a helmet. I mean, what kind of insanity is that? So listen to what he's saying.
It's nonsense. He just doesn't know what he's talking about. And again, it beyond just sounding like an ungrateful asshole and beyond sounding just clueless about life in general, petty, all these things, you can't have been in some type of the business and not understood the business. That means what supersedes actual logic and thought is strictly emotion. So when Bob D, and God bless him, hopefully I can record with him soon again. It was a while there. He was very sick, guys, and I couldn't because of his voice. But when he says, you know, they only feel most of the time rage. That's the only indication you think that this is a human being, but it's all predicated on want, on need, on that emotional whatever supply. And
he's
this
an
is
an emotional
part of that.
Vampire. And I look at it this reaction similarly to how producers and record companies used to be emotional vampires to artists, especially black artists in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, today.
Yeah. I mean, yes,
for real, like it's all emotional vampire. They own you. And Howard has that mentality of I want a piece of a pie that didn't belong to me. But I want that piece of that pie. And until I get that piece, I'm not going to be satisfied.
Yeah. What he's saying is I am not being treated special. I need more from you, Jon Favreau. It's not enough for you to be a fan of the show. You need to worship my taint.
And it's more saying I am not one of the people. I am not going to be even though there's only 1,500 of these that could possibly be made, let's say. that's still one too many. It should just be me.
Yep.
Let's take right, that's for kids. Howard just had the Fart Man costume, right? So they make three Fart Man costumes. Well, in case one rips, you're building these things. So you make three of them, two just in case, right?
Oh, that's different.
So no, it's not.
You wear one on camera,
and then you give me the other one. I think that's just as cool as the one. It's exactly
because
the
it's
same
one of three.
No, Ralph, that's true. But here's the analogy.
No, that's true. That's it. You've lost.
That's it.
That's it. Once you admit that he's correct. Once you admit that Ralph's correct, you've lost your own argument, asshole.
Right. And that was the movies company. That's their purview for how many they are going to make for that movie, for that mold. So say like this example Ralph is giving, the movie wasn't made, but based on their assessment, they made three suits or whatever. That's their intellectual property. That's what they decided to make. Iron Man, their intellectual property, they decided to make a few thousand. There's how many millions of people in the United States? This is now something that's this rare thing. Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
That's if the movies, here's the analogy. If they start selling on the internet thousands of Fart Man suits, but they say this is the authentic Fart Man suit made from the actual design of the one they used in the movie.
Right.
It's, any schlub can have that.
You don't have a schlub one. I guarantee if you get that mass production one that they have 1,500 of and you put the two together, yours is going to look different and be different.
Howard is...
I disagree, Ralph, because John said it's...
Mine wasn't in the movie.
Okay, no, hold on. Before you go in, John, just to keep in mind, guys, we're playing this. John Favreau will call in. That's the key reason for playing this, because he, at that point, he's fucking probably lost it. He's probably telling Howard, fuck you, in the air.
Well, he doesn't obviously understand, like you said, the business in general, which is so fucking obvious. But so... I'm sorry. What were they saying beforehand? You made me lose my train of thought.
Oh, sorry. Well, they were talking. He was just saying about the Fart Man analogy, and if you mass produce things, and anybody can have it.
Okay.
And some
But that's the thing, Howard. This isn't a Party City helmet. This isn't something for Halloween that you can go to Party City and pick up. And that's the way he is explaining this helmet.
Right.
But that's
this
not
is a
the
Toys
case.
R Us helmet. That's what he
right.
thinks. Yeah.
John said it's from the Stan Winston studio. That's the one that's being sold.
Gary read on the online.
Oh yeah, we know how Gary interprets.
I have.
But if
no, exactly, I hate this. I agree with Ralph. Like I am on Ralph's side with this.
Ralph would know better than these guys. I mean, and by the way, thank you to one of our Patreon guys, Jason, who hooked us up with as soon as I can download it, Geek Time episodes.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm going to download those and I'm going to make sure I can parse through them and see what was available because they did a lot of interviews with people over the years. And
do you want to know the ones I value more, though, is Back Office Radio? I want them all.
They're all on YouTube, I think, or a good chunk of them anyway.
I don't know. I've had a hard time finding the ones I used to have. I have a lot of broken links.
Yeah, I'll have to check out see if Jason can hook us up with those too.
If you make 1,500 of something and you make 200 of something, you have different molds. I mean, to make mass production, you have to make completely different molds. So when they make 1,500,
I didn't call in to argue with Ralph. I could see why.
Okay.
Because I'm losing.
We didn't call in to argue with Ralph. Meaning, I don't like the argument that's correct and presented, not only from a guy who does this for a living that called in, but now somebody who does this as a hobby. That's like saying, it's Howard, if somebody called up to fight with you about painting or whatever the fuck you think you do, and then they don't like what you have to say about it, and they say, I didn't call to argue with you about watercolors.
No.
Fuck off.
He
you
didn't want
did
a debate.
Call in to argue
he
about
wanted
this.
A he wanted a consensus, and he wanted to say more about – he wanted to shut down what they were talking about because it was making him sound bad.
And the only person who would know about this shit is Ralph. Gary doesn't know dick.
No, his cell collection, it's a different genre. Like, it's a totally different field. I mean, yes, is it collectibles? Yes. But collecting coins and collecting fucking stamps are totally different.
But even Gary should know, based on vinyl collections –
yes.
You should have the knowledge and the wherewithal to know how this sort of thing works.
Right, there, because there are different pressings. There are things with mistakes on them. There are things that were released with like different editions with wrong tracks on them. I'm not joking. I used to eBay hunt in the old days. I used to go to vinyl and CD shops back in the days. I sold a fucking Corky and the Juice Pig CD for like $100 because they were on Mad TV one time or twice. And someone in the early days of eBay, the people sent cash in the envelopes.
Same with like reprints of like CD art, like, or I'm not CD art, records, like changing their album art. And also like they would change sometimes, say like it would be like, I don't know, Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, but then it would be like Patti LaBelle and the LaBelles or something.
Right.
And so they would have to reprint, do stuff like that. People totally collect that stuff. And Gary knows this. So why is he doing this?
How many QFers out there remember the CD long box craze that they got rid of in the early 90s for the environment?
Ooh, I didn't know that. Tell me about this. Yeah.
Well, they used to sell them in long boxes because they had to go up a little higher in the stacks to be visible because CDs were so much smaller and they had different kind of racks for vinyl and stuff. So in order to make them the same height as vinyl, more or less, and more prominent in the stacks, they had them in these long boxes. And the boxes had sometimes a lot of ornate art that covered, that was mirrored whatever was on the album cover or was just the same, one of the primary colors of the album cover. And if you look online, so there's a Jane's Addiction one I got ages ago. I still have it because the artwork was banned by most stores, the original artwork. So they put it out with a black and white cover and the First Amendment on it.
Oh, my God. So how many of these sort of long boxes exist?
Well, that have survived, I don't imagine there's a hell of a lot. There's still a lot of...
That's amazing.
I'll just hold on. I'll see if I can find one really, really quickly, just as an example. Like the Body Count Cop Killer. Yeah. CD.
What about...
Long box. Okay. So I'll just put a... Let's see.
Oh, my God. You're right. Look at this.
So
that's Grace Smith,
yep.
Right?
You better believe it. Let me just move this over. Large. Okay, as an example.
So fascinated.
So that's PlayStation bullshit, but okay, here we go. Someone on eBay is selling this.
Shut the front door.
These are box sets, but that's not exactly what I'm looking for. But let me go back a little bit. Hold on.
They sold these as long CD, like instead of that shorter, you know, the thing in plastic that you wanted to kill yourself by the time you got it open.
Cure long box. Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1. Alice in Chains over here. Let's move this over. I remember I had this one, Nine Inch Nails, Pretty Hate Machine.
They have like Jeff Beck. That's amazing.
Chris Isaac, all kinds of stuff in there. It's just like really just for super
Pearl
like,
Jam. Wow.
It was amazing that they, but it was wasteful. I mean, it was just hugely wasteful package. Imagine opening up a box of almonds, like chocolate covered almonds.
But when don't they waste packaging? Look at a box of cereal. You open it up and
air,
it's like
mostly
60%
air.
Full.
Yeah, well, no, but, you know, like a packet of almonds, and then there's, like, they're covered. Each individual almond is its own, like, set, like, in a big hard plastic, and then covered in cellophane inside as well.
I totally understand the economy, but I think that's fascinating. I guess they saved the environment by putting a bunch of saran wrap and plastic stickers all over the place. That made me, especially the one that went across the middle, so you'd get the cellophane all open, and then that stupid one across the middle, and you'd be, I don't know, using your teeth to rip it open.
you laugh at this example of thievery. Greek CDs, when we used to order them online, they had the sticker covered the opening, like the openings where you flip it open, and it covered around the back, but it was waxed on, not waxed, it was sealed on via the sticker. So when the sticker ripped, obviously somebody opened it. My cousin used to order them, just unhook the hinge instead, take the CD, burn it, and then send it back.
That's so smart.
Because there was no cellophane. Eventually they wised up and started selling them in cellophane. All of these Greek record shops got pissed off, but there's nothing they could do because they had a refund policy. Nothing was opened.
I remember that, like, the piracy was out of control, especially in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, I burned the crap out of CDs.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Well, we used to have to import them for, like, $35 a CD, so I understood what he was doing.
My mom used to, when I was burning CDs for my friends, she would get nervous because of the copyright thing that was in front of the movies. And she'd be like, Fitz, look at what you're doing. You're running a black market and our computer.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Get annoyed. I mean, this is silly.
You are silly. You don't appreciate something really cool that was said.
No, I appreciate it. I told you, he doesn't have to send me anything. But I wouldn't send somebody something if I'm the director of the movie that isn't from the movie. I wouldn't. That's crazy.
You just actually wouldn't send jack shit is the whole point.
Oh, no. He wouldn't do anything for anybody. No. But I love how Ralph's his retort is this, you know, iconic Ralph laugh. And for some reason, especially since he's no longer with us, it's quite nice. I enjoy this.
Well, he also knows Howard's being a complete dick.
I enjoy this version of Ralph.
Okay.
He's the director of the movie. He can have his hands on anything.
You have three. Yeah, Robert Downey has one. John has one, and you have one. That's a pretty cool club.
And you have one.
I have something that looks similar.
Ralph, Ralph. It's cool, but it's not from the movie.
John. It's not an exclusive.
John Hine is the biggest dunce. He should know out of all people what he's saying. He is explaining this perfectly. It is so crazy to me that both Gary, Jan Hine, and Mike Ganji, they cannot comprehend what Ralph's saying. And the caller, they've explained this. I'm not having a hard time retaining this information. Are you?
Nope.
From the movie.
Give me a second. Ralph, explain to me exactly how it's from the movie.
Even John Favreau.
Now I remember why we stopped the saga.
I want to get off the carousel.
It really is like that kid going flying.
Throwing up on the horse in front of me and beside me and to the left of me.
Going why? And you go, when you explain, but why? And they said, and eventually she's like, just fuck off and go to your room.
It really is. Like, somebody has locked me in a cage on one of those twirly rides where you're standing up and the gravity's holding you to the wall and you're just going round and round. And you're just puking all over everyone. I hate this.
And then you line up for another go.
Every week, Fillmore Thursday. I'll see you then.
Avril said to me, this was not for the movie.
Okay, so are you saying to me that if they stuck it in I was sitting on the table, the exact same thing you have, was in a far shot, the table in the background somewhere, then you would love it?
Yeah.
That's in the movie.
Yeah, it's in the movie.
That's just insane.
Oh, come on.
No, it's not. It's from the scene in the movie. It's actually made for the movie. Listen.
Talk about a super geek. I mean, the exact same thing of what's in the movie. I can't see the distinction.
When they came back from the moon, they had moon rocks, right?
Right.
No.
What if they found a rock? It's the same exact shit.
What do you think, Neil Armstrong put some moon rocks in his jeans and came back?
They actually proved that they weren't from the moon. Right. So, I mean, that's a good one to go down. But I will say, I mean, Fillmore, why is he not upset that, like, he didn't get the horse head out of the bet from The Godfather? I mean, that's basically what he's saying, is why didn't I get the horse head?
You know, the shit that Coppola had to take when that was screened and all the animal rights got up in his face, and he's like, no, we got that from the friggin' glue factory. It was already dead.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. And good. It was a great movie.
It was a great movie. We'd slaughter 100 horses.
I don't like animal cruelty, but for the sake of that movie, I'll accept it.
Yeah.
Bye, Beth.
No, you better accept it. It's a mob movie.
Found on Earth.
No. Oh,
I lost Ralph, Howard.
Yeah, my phone's working.
Nick, stick with us because we have an interesting caller.
John Favreau, you're on the wrap-up show.
Oh, no. Yes.
Oh, fuck.
I thought we resolved this, Howard. We're cool. I was listening to these guys talking about it.
Listen, look at him bend right over when John calls in.
I love I love the way he said,
"We're cool.
We gotta accept. You gotta accept it." Like he's just—it's a ready, and he has this Hollywood air about him when he speaks. You could just tell that this is somebody that's from the business. This isn't somebody that's fucking around and calling in.
This isn't someone begging and pleading for advanced screenings. This is someone giving advanced screenings because he's a director.
I hate when you make me laugh and I happen to take like 10, but I don't have time.
Why? What'd I do?
You shut up. Let's go.
Well, here, can I clarify everything?
By the way, thank you. Thank you for my tip.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. But here, and I don't want anything else.
I understand.
All right.
So here's what happens. When they make a prop, they don't just make one of them. They make a lot of them. And they grow them on computers at a place called Legacy Effects. They hand paint it, chrome it. And you have them on a truck so that if one breaks or you have to shoot two scenes at the same time, you got a few of them. Now, most of the time when people buy these things at an auction or they have it, you don't know whether it was on camera or not. It's part of the run that they make in the prop house. Because of the confusion, I didn't want to mischaracterize and tell you that I knew that it was worn in the movie. Most people that have real props, they have what you have. They don't know if it's shot or not shot.
This is a real prop from the movie.
This is, it's made, in other words, it's not something that...
So let's pretend that, Ralph Lauren produced how many Nazi uniforms and helmets? So basically, they're not getting it. He's not making reproductions of these. They're not mass selling these in other factories. These are the uniforms. So if you find some helmet, some tag, something, that's the thing. That's it. Same with Civil War memorabilia. Same with any memorabilia from different periods of time. There's a certain amount produced. These are the amounts. He said it's a truck full. Okay, that's not that many, considering how many people live in this country. That's it.
Is he pissed off that Barbara didn't send him her outfit from fucking Yentl? Jesus Christ.
I know. But I'm really ready. Like, it's just so crazy. Like, what do you want from these people? For real, what does he want?
I'd like Vic Morrow's head from The Twilight Zone, the movie.
That crow that was poking Tippi Hedren's eyeball almost out of her socket? I would like that. I'd like it mounted and framed.
There's in the I referenced this a few times during the show. There's a book called Hollywood Animal by Joe Esterhaz, the guy who wrote Basic Instinct. And he's in one of the chapters, between chapters, he would include some kind of anecdote. It was funny. And he said there's an independently wealthy collector in Hollywood that specializes in really odd things. So a half-smoked cigarette by, Hunter S. Thompson, and a handwritten death threat from him to, I don't know, Henry Kissinger. And then, Marlon Brando's Polynesian muumuu, shit like that. A condom once used by Warren Beatty.
That's amazing.
Right. I mean, this is the kind of independently wealthy. He goes after like the most esoteric black market shit he can find. A piece of the bumper that from the car that James Dean crashed.
I love that, actually.
That's a bit twisted to me, but
that's
more
what Howard's asking to be presented with.
I think instead,
not understand, because you're not. That's not reality anymore. This isn't that. You know what I'm saying?
Poor John doesn't want to tell him you're not important enough to get this shit, asshole.
That's the feeling I get when I'm listening to this conversation. Is what the real crux of the argument is. You want to be more important than you are. And John has the grace and dignity not to say it and is still placating this conversation.
For now. And I think for the longest time, he never went back. I have to look it up in Mark's Friggin' and see. But I believe this, except for Cowboys and Aliens, when he called in to promote it, which might have been before this or just after. And I think that was the end of it. But then again, John wasn't very busy for years afterwards until like Chef. And then even then, he probably wouldn't have been accepted.
I mean, like, he wants, the tiara at Breakfast at Tiffany's. He's such a queen.
Yeah, or Audrey's gloves or something in that movie.
That soul mm-hmm. that Ralph has, it's something that's handmade by the prop house. And they either, you know, you either shoot it or it's on the truck or it's available because they can't make, if it breaks, it takes weeks to make one of these things. They have to have a few of them. It's not something that they build for collectors. It's something that it's a special thing to have. The scuffing and all that that you saw on it is painted on it just like it is on the ones in the movie. It's identical to the ones in the movie.
Howard,
you're saying what I have in my house was actually made for the movie, and if one of the things in the movie broke, it would have been on the camera.
They could use that. Yeah, they could use that on camera. Now, it wasn't actually shot, but I wanted to send you the Senator Stern thing, which I called Marvel, and a guy named Jeremy Latcham over there, who's a producer, got it out of the archives, retrieved it. But I thought just giving you a nameplate wouldn't be cool. So I got I'm working with the guys from Legacy on Cowboys and Aliens. So I was able to get you that, but I knew it wasn't on camera, but I thought you'd display them together.
Jesus Christ, on the cross.
Like going through that
amount
of
thought.
Yeah.
I think about like when we send each other things, which Fillmore and I rarely do. For Christmas we do usually. And birthdays sometimes. And just randomly sometimes. But on the rare. Okay. But think of the thought. I think of like how thoughtful we are with one another, and it's so sweet, and I love it so much, especially it's such a nice surprise. Imagine if I looked at anything you got me and thought, this train of thought, I can't imagine. Listen to this explanation. This guy is literally explaining phone calls he made to heads of studios to have things reproduced and made into a special way for him.
I think I said an anecdote earlier on the show, like years and years ago, about, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yes, of course.
Okay. They were supposed to play the Fillmore East or something. And then the writer in their writer said, where's the Persian rug? And the Fillmore East crew goes, what Persian rug? They said, well, it's in the writer. It stated that the instruments would be on a Persian rug for them to play on. So they had to remove all the instruments, roll out a Persian rug, and then put the instruments back on for Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Then the road manager looked at it and he goes, it's dirty. And then one of the crew guys lost. He goes, it's dirty? Sir, this Persian carpet is dirty? He said he ran to the back, got one of these like SNL type massive vacuum cleaners, got down on his hands and knees and scrubbed the fuck out of it. Went to town on this Persian rug, and he removed all the gear himself. And then he was like, and they're like, at this point, the band's looking down at their feet. They're like embarrassed. And then he goes, it's fine, John. It's fine. The manager said, fine. He goes, no, it isn't, sir. No, it isn't. We're going to do this right. We're going to do this for the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And then so finally, when he's done, he's like sweating. He just ran like a madman and just possessed, put it all back, and he's huffing and puffing. He goes, sir, does he like it? And they're like, it's fine. It's fine. He just embarrassed them. And then he looks over at the band and he goes, you know, even if you guys were good, this would be too much work.
Oh, my God. What a story.
Yeah. It's just like entitled. It's just an example of what entitled assholes people can be, especially in the business. Howard's not really different, I suppose, than a lot of those guys. It's just the scale, the scale and I guess the scope of how bad it gets for him.
I think, though, that this, just like we always say, as we go back and then we do breakdowns, these are just examples of worse things yet to come.
Oh, yeah.
But things that were always in the background, just lingering sort of, like where you got this impression. Like I said, where did Jon Favreau get the impression that Howard Stern is some magnanimous, amazing friend in person just because you listen to his show? Do you not see the way he treats other people? Would you not think that he would treat you similarly? Of course he would. But if you just have this fallacy in your head because you're a fan and you're a listener that he's going to be special to you. You are not special. You are not human. You are not a friend. He is not a friend to anybody. And here's the treatment.
Right. I think Bobby Brown's Good Enough is an amazing song, but I would never want to meet him ever.
No.
Right.
That's fine. So, I watch him on TV.
I can separate myself from whatever the artisan or the artist or whatever you have, whatever the case may be. And in this case, Favreau is not able to see the forest for the trees. He does not see. Now he's getting a first class education now.
It's sad to me that most people don't see the forest through the trees. And now, because of this vampire generation that decided to make amends with Howard, has given the okay for the newer generation to make appeasements towards Howard, where they go on the show like a Bella Thorne or a MGK or a Pete Davidson, what's his face with the tattoos and the face?
Oh, Post Malone?
Post Malone, thank you, whatever.
Yeah. I'm going to say Mike Tyson.
I don't care about it. It's weird, whatever. Okay. It's just a point that's giving the okay for the next generation to get ripped off equally. And these people are worshiping at the altar of a false prophet that these vampires in the forward generation didn't quite nail to the cross as they should have.
You know what, though? Well, I do have a measure of satisfaction in knowing that Howard now has to beg for every interview he gets.
I so love that, too, though. I do, because I know, you know, for example, the Madonna one was my favorite, where he had to change his whole schedule around. I mean, we're talking pre-COVID. So it was fantastic to hear the bending of the knee that he had to do for that pillow face to give some fucking interview.
Totally.
Hey, John, can I ask a question?
John, by the way, thank you. This is very embarrassing. I'm not looking for anything from Iron Man. But, you know, listen, I think what I originally thought was John sent me something that was a mold made after the movie was made.
No.
And they took the mold and they made up a couple of heads from it.
Yeah, they do make a couple of heads from it. I don't know when it was made, but I know it was made by the guys at Legacy because I said, look, Howard's busting my balls.
Yeah, what don't you get? What doesn't he get? They only made what they had to in a budget that was considering what they might need to reuse to film. That's it.
Yep.
Because I sent a Sideshow collectible thing.
I think mine was made after the movie.
But this is not something that's made for, you know, these things auction for a lot of dough. And they don't crank them out. It's not part of a collector series that people can get.
Hey,
I got one of them, and Robert on Robert's birthday, that was what he was given.
Fillmore, what finger gun is going to kill me or you first? Your finger gun or my finger gun?
Robert Downey Jr., a guy that could buy and sell Howard three times over.
I've never seen us more suicidal. We're both, I'm like, whose finger gun is going to trigger our heads exploding against the computer screen first?
I promise when we're done this, I want to play something for you, and it will make you smile. Won't say what it is.
Hate you. Let's go.
That's when I brought him to his birthday party.
In other words, what I have is way better than what Ralph has.
Yes, way better.
He said that just like, yes, you little fucking cunt. Yes, it's way better. Enjoy your fucking He-Man. I hope you choke on it.
I know. What was that one toy that he wanted so bad?
Which?
That you talked
about.
Oh,
Great Baloo. I'm sure he's gonna end up like fucking Ralph Cifaretto with like his sister's gonna take the Great Garloo and beat him to death with it and smile.
I hope to God that somebody beats him like Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
Fucking Misery with Great Garloo.
Yeah, totally.
But it's not actually the one. Now, by the way, when you have memorabilia that has a certificate and all that, it could very well be the same thing that you have now, because they'll say, yeah, it's a real movie prop. But nobody could know whether it was actually filmed or not filmed. There's four pairs of ruby slippers from Wizard of Oz. Nobody knows whether it's Warner but it is cooler than the guitar.
So I was watching this.
Howard would love the ruby slippers.
Oh, yeah. He'd be right in them for what was that? Stupid David Letterman appearance. He'd be wearing those immediately. So they're redoing the Broadway play Wicked, and they're making it a major film. Ariana Grande is going to be Glinda, and this the actress who's going to play Elphaba, so Cynthia Erivo is going to play Elphaba. She's a black actress. She's going to be the witch. And these people on TikTok are so funny. They said, they're like, let's go back in time. And then they show a picture of Judy Garland. They're like, essentially, this Karen was a grave robber. Like, she's taking the ruby shoes from Elphaba. This Karen was a grave robber trotting around with some corpse's shoes. I was laughing so hard. I was like, I never thought of it that way, but I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you really think about it, it's pretty grotesque. And the fact that the feet curl up afterwards...
It's grotesque, and I never thought about it that way. And I go, yeah. So Wicked, of course, is the pre-story of how the Wicked Witch became the Wicked Witch, which I read the book. I loved it when I was, I think I was in college when I read it. Yeah, it's really good. But yeah, I thought that was really funny. But again, Howard would not be satisfied unless he had the exact makes of the ruby slippers or the socks or the house.
But it's not like he enjoys movies. It's not like he enjoys like the art that it came from, or if you want to call it art for that matter. But I mean, you know, if you get a signed copy of a book, did you read the book? Sometimes people don't. They just want to sign something.
He would like, what does he watch, Fillmore? He would want a corpse of a My 600 Pound Life victim on on A&E or whatever fucking TLC. He'd want the skin of the 500 pound life person.
Yeah, he'd make them a coffee table.
Get that right
of
now.
Course.
Yeah. All right, now I understand. And please, let's put
floating
this
at the bottom of the pool.
I wish everyone would stop talking about it. It's embarrassing.
Yes, but does that make it clear enough? Because every morning,
John, listen to me. John, thank you.
I'm outside the gates of Universal, waiting to go to work, making the next one.
That's embarrassing as fuck. Is that enough? Did I not explain this good enough to you, motherfucker? I'm outside the gates of Universal to do my job as a movie producer, you radio DJ slimy fuck.
You know what? That was a little bit of John getting back, just saying, "Yeah, this is you. You put me out of my fucking day. I want you to feel as shitty as possible."
That was a perfect retort.
Yep.
And I'm sitting out here on my phone because I don't want to. I want you to understand what it is. It's all this conjecture. Gary, do you understand what it is?
I do. I do.
Gary, do you understand how fucking retarded you are, asshole?
Gary, thanks for making this vinyl.
Thanks for making this go way further than it had to, shithead.
Thank you for diving into Howard's asshole to the point where you can't think for yourself and you have the brain of a fucking corpse. Are you kidding me right now? And then
like you or I would have gone in there as Howard's assistant said, shut the fuck up. Be grateful anybody sent you anything. You're a miserable piece of shit. Most people would kill to have this and fuck off. Bye now. Anything else, boss?
Listen to even in like podcast land, for example, when we're mistreated, where did we go?
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. See ya.
And look at the state of that now.
God, I'm sorry. I want to be able to keep my throw up inside.
It's like Sarajevo with 3D glasses on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, we're going to.
But yeah, I think to myself, what do we do when we invite people onto our platform? Well, I gift them things. We love these people. We cherish them. We pay them. We like them. I don't understand how Howard doesn't see that. You're doing this to a real Hollywood player. I wanted him to almost go gangbusters, like, you know, Entourage Ari, like go in there and bust open the doors at K-Rock and start blasting him.
I would have taken it back. I would have said, okay, you can give it back now. And then just really made him feel the worst, like the biggest piece of shit ever. As it is, he's doing a good enough job. But I think there's so much more he could have done. And I would have loved it. I would have loved it.
I would have loved it.
Since you don't like it, I'll give it to someone who can appreciate it, shithead.
Exactly. See you later. Yeah.
Yep.
I do too now. Wait. Let me be clear. I'm going to repeat what it is, and John, just tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay?
God. Right. Get me off this Ferris wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
What I have in my house now, when they were filming the movie, they had a bunch of these Iron Man heads made for the movie.
God.
In fact, mine might have been in the movie. Who knows? You never know if it would have been on camera, but you're pretty sure it
wasn't. I don't think it was. I don't think it was because Marvel tends to grab that stuff and archive it. So this one was made by, this was at the effects house who made the helmets. So I just want to clarify.
Let me clarify. It was made before the movie was shot in case you needed another Iron Man head.
That's what I think.
Now I know why he was in the 13th and 14th grades. He needs 15, 16, 17.
I want to take his head like a bowling ball and just shank it right down the fucking lane in his property. I want to ISIS the head off of him and just use it as a bowling ball right now and just boop the pins. I am so tortured by this stupidity. Have we not heard the same explanation, not only by Ralph, but by callers? Every fucking person, including the guy who gave you the gift, which that's your mistake, John. Never make that again. Don't ever speak to this person again. Don't ever talk to him again. Send him boxes of shit for the rest of your life. Take a nice shit. Take a Coke shit. One that's really fucking wackadoodle. You know, when you're like, fuck, I did too much. And then you shit in a box and it looks black, red. Who knows what's coming out of your ass? Send it. And then put the empty baggie in there and send it with a big fucking bow.
Note to self, when Sam gets married, do not buy her the steak knives on the registry.
Why?
You just mentioned about beheading.
Oh, fuck him. I'd behead him in two. Who cares about his life?
I think the funny thing is, and this is where Howard like didn't understand his own show. The Petcock saga. This, any rant that went too long, always when it went too long, it didn't just go over long by like 10 minutes or 20 minutes. It went over long by a week or a month.
We've been doing this. No wonder why we spaced this out.
Yes.
I am.
Imagine you're working with this.
I'm ready to join the cartel. I'm just kidding.
I'm not sure.
Because John, the thing
is. Problem. John, now, wait a second. John, again, I'm not complaining, but this is my problem. I believe that this head, let's call it the Nudnik head. This is so that you can give out a gift to a guy like me who's a pain in the ass, but I believe they were made afterwards.
A very high-class Nudnik head because it's the one I got and the one Downey got.
But it's not Nudnik head. It's not
Nudnik head. It's a high-class Nudnik head. Okay. That's a Hollywood term, I'm sure. They understand in the business.
It's like fucking Favreau sent him a Pez dispenser, for fuck's sake.
This is not the equivalent of Judy Garland's fucking tapes. This is the Judy Garland tapes, but actually this is during Howard's career. Yeah. This is him flummoxed by why he doesn't have the helmet that he does have, but he's not accepting the answer.
I sent you certified mail.
Fuck.
The movie.
No, like the first thing was the Nudnik thing.
It's like Paul McCartney
said to me, send me something from the movie.
Right, I understand, but Paul McCartney gave me a guitar. It's a replica of his guitar. He never played it. It's just the one that looks like it.
No, that's totally different. That's like if Paul McCartney had a few guitars in case one of them broke and he played one on stage, but he has the one you got was a mass produced one.
Right.
When this first started, I called in because I came back from Comic-Con to talk about.
But I feel like my Iron Man head is mass-produced.
Fillmore, I want to shove his head in the toilet and give him a swirly. What kind of high school bullshit is this? I don't know what to say except for I just feel like he screeched. Complaining at Bayside Heights, like, why am I a loser?
Oh, man.
It's not. For sure not.
So, John, I just this thing that Howard was looking at today, I'm looking at it right now, and it says that it was taken directly from the molds used to create the film costume.
We've been over this 50 times.
It's exactly the same thing as what's in the movie, except
it's in the
It is.
What?
It's in the
Nugget. Fillmore, where is Joe Pesci with a pen when you need him?
Sam sent me, it's waiting for me when I get back home. She sent me an autograph, an Artie Lang autograph, like an 8x10, which was very, very sweet of her. It's like me getting pissed off. She didn't send me Artie Lang.
That's so true. And Fillmore sent me a Joan Rivers is my favorite comic. So for my birthday, he sent me an autograph Joan Pictures picture. an autograph Joan Rivers picture. And I absolutely adore that picture so much. I look at it every single day. I'm obsessed with it. And that's me being mad that you're not doing some sort of seance to bring her up from the dead and giving me a new episode of Fashion Police, you cunt. I mean, right. Why?
Right.
When you first said, send me something from the movie. No, that was the first one I sent you, the Sideshow Collectible. That was the $500 piece that, by the way, was before the run ever started, but whatever.
That piece of shit that only cost half a grand?
White people problems.
Oh, man.
I thought it would be something. I was filming in the desert, and I said, send Howard something nice. Could we get something? I called the people at Marvel, and we sent you the toy, the collector.
So, John, when I didn't like it. When Jim Sabian comes over my house for a meeting, and I point to the head, here's what I'm going to say. Look, it's not the head from the movie, but they made a mold, and then after the movie, they made a mold and they sent me one.
You're fucking idiot, you fucking doofus. He just explained. He's not processing anything. He's stuck on that fucking, it's like he's playing hopscotch. He can't get past the first square.
The CD keeps skipping. He can't figure it out. He's an idiot. And
he's putting his finger through the iPhone.
He cannot figure. He is your grandparent trying to fucking email. It's just pathetic. It's just bad. And on top of it, it's John is saying to him how exactly what this is over and over and over. And he is not accepting the answer. Instead, he keeps turning it around. And this is part of his narcissism, by the way. It's the delusion that he can't comprehend what he's actually saying because he is so fixated on this isn't what I deserve. So that is overriding any logical sort of conversation about this, about what is in reality and what you actually have and what you actually got. This is disturbing on so many fucking levels. Imagine if I sent you that Norm Macdonald t-shirt and you're telling me, well, it doesn't really look like Norm Macdonald. Tell me how this Norm are you sure this might not be Norm? Like, imagine having that conversation with me over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it's like fucking Rashomon. All of a sudden, there's like 20 different tales of how this is going down, except that this is everybody getting it wrong for Howard on the wrap-up show to cover his ass. John calling in, Ralph calling in, both in agreement. Like, this is something special. We're telling you it's special. If you don't trust us, shut the fuck up, throw it out. Don't ever have us on again.
Listen to how irate we are when we're listening to this. I have to imagine, especially since he's saying this to somebody like Jon Favreau, and he's pissed off a lot of Hollywood people. What gives Howard the right to be this retarded and this
successful?
I'm this egotistical and think like this and give this much shit to somebody who's actually in this business. And the only thing I could think of is, like I said, the Pink Mafia, because I think he's some sort of protected class of person. And he has been for a very long time, because anybody else, if you gave this much, I dare you, as some actress, okay, I don't care if you're black or white, some young girl, give this much shit to somebody, say you don't want to show your tits in a movie, say you don't want to wear your hair that way, say you're not comfortable about your trailer and how it looks, say you're not happy about the pay you're getting for the color purple, hello, because that actually just happened. These people are totally blackballed. But Howard gets to go on and just do this?
Yeah, sure he does.
It's not a mold. It's grown the same way. Here's what you do. You say, that was in the movie. Point a little bit lower. You point at the nameplate, and he'll think you're talking about the helmet.
All right. That's what I'm going to do. Because I'm still confused. Is everybody still confused in a way?
What is he, a museum tour guide?
Nameplate was actually used in the movie. Right. And Johnson at the Howard. Helmet
was
not...
for me. That's good enough for me.
Okay. Helmet was on the bench for the movie if needed, but wasn't actually used in the movie.
John, did the helmet at least...
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Did the helmet at least make it onto the set?
Yeah, but don't you hear what John's saying?
Or was...
John's saying that's his understanding. In other words, it might even be a helmet that was not even in...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And more importantly...
It's frustrating.
I'm frustrated. I'm very frustrated. He's acting as if this thing isn't what it is, but it is.
Right.
And how do you explain this to somebody who's not willing to accept the examples and how it's special for what the fact that he's sitting outside right now of Universal Studios and this asshole is grilling him in these bitch ass minutia ways when we just explained to you how this is a market, how this is how this is important. There's not that many made. There's the molds. They don't give them anywhere else. What the fuck?
In the truck waiting to be used.
Right. It might have been one that was made after the movie.
Right.
John, Howard's thinking that this is, you know, one of the helmets when they go down and you see everything out there. That's what this is from.
That's not what it is.
Okay.
So it sounds to me like the win would have been for me. I should have just sent you the nameplate. You would have thought it was awesome.
That's what I was thinking.
It would have been
a weird thing on your shelf.
So less?
But that would have been a weird thing just to put on your shelf.
The helmet's got me confused.
Oh,
here's what I think.
The helmet's got you confused. I think life has you confused, Howard.
So you got less. So you'd be happy with a nameplate, basically a fucking license plate that you can make at any airport when you put a fucking quarter in the machine.
Right.
And you're going to fucking tell me, motherfucker, that the helmet is degrading the gift now.
Right.
You should have just gave him some fucking thing that you can make in any Vegas fucking tourist point to have your initials or your bullshit on it, where I want to say Samantha 2004 Las Vegas, and that's going to be more impressive than the helmet with the nameplate. He went out of his way. Did you hear the people he had to call to make sure that you got this exact version of the helmet so it wouldn't be mass produced, so it's not the same thing? No, he doesn't hear that. Instead, it's this.
You do put it on eBay, we'll see what it's worth. And then pull it at the end, and then you'll feel better about yourself when it goes for $10,000, $20,000.
What do you think that's worth?
A stunt suit that was maybe or maybe wasn't worn in the movie sold for over $100,000 at an auction.
So what do you think is worth?
I think
at the end of the day, it's dollars. It's always the fucking dollars. I sound like Joe Pesci in Casino again.
I want to take the helmet and knee him in the balls with it. I want to beat the fuck out of him like the cornfields in Casino and leave his body in a fucking dusty hole and beat the fuck out of him with that helmet.
I want you to escort him off the premises. I want you to take him off his feet, and I want you to use his fucking wig to open the door. I love that scene.
I literally never have wanted to beat the fuck out of somebody more right now.
Aren't you a little shocked that Beth hasn't actually, being younger and maybe in better health, sort of on the outside, even though she's emaciated and needs a fucking Philly cheesesteak pronto? Are you amazed that she hasn't sort of snapped one day and just hit him with a blunt object and done like an absolute like just crime scene there?
I would have faked self-defense and killed him so long ago. I don't understand how she puts up with it. You know how many people have gotten away with that? You should fake self-defense every day of your life. Fake it. Kill him. Allegedly.
You see, by talking about it, you've actually devalued it in a way, because most people don't talk about it, and that could have gotten certification that it was an Iron Man helmet, but I felt bad about mischaracterizing it.
Right. This conversation alone.
This is crazy. I love the gift. I have it on display. I'm going to continue to display it with your notes next to it. By the way, the picture you sent me was not the one with the Bible next to the book. It has Why I Love Howard Stern and all your books. You sent me the wrong picture.
Stop it. This is too bad.
I did. I thought so, but I wanted to show you how lame I am.
I'm
happy to have my Iron Man helmet in your shrine. And I'll do something for Cowboys and Aliens now that I have access to this stuff. I'll figure something out cool for you.
Yeah, something that's in the movie.
Yeah, John, are you putting stuff aside now?
I believe Cowboys and Aliens is going to be a big hit.
Like Skunk and Nancy.
You're going to be a big hit.
Yeah, big time.
That's not what I'm fishing for, but thank you.
No, but I happen to believe it. I've seen extended scenes from it, and it's very good. It
looks amazing.
No, it's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Please, no more gifts. I'm not fishing for gifts.
I'm sorry. What were you fishing for? Carp? You fucking retard. Are you kidding?
Okay, but is everybody clear on everything? I'm trying to. It's a difficult thing to describe.
I'll be honest. I'm not clear on it, but I'm just giving up.
Good.
I really don't understand.
No, you're hit the nail on the head. It's not he doesn't understand. He refuses to accept reality.
Yeah, it is the Orwell. You are going to say that 2 + 2 = 4. You have to say it's 5.
Yeah, I willed this ketchup to be mustard, regardless if it's red and it tastes like ketchup. To me, it's mustard. It'll always be mustard. That's it.
We're living in a Huxley Orwell fucking brainwashing bullshit. It's unbelievable.
It's really like a character study.
I don't understand. I even understand if it's in the movie or not.
I got to tell you, I'm sort of clear on it, but we've only got 8 minutes left. But I think my Sibian analogy earlier is about right on.
Howard's got
no,
the backup.
No, you
Sibian.
Fucking right. don't.
No, I don't even know, Gary. Sibian. Gary, your analogy is wrong, and I'll tell you why. This is not even one of the 4 Sibians we keep in the studio. It's a 4? Sibian.
Oh, no.
What? No, we don't have 4. It's an analogy.
Okay, now this is, keep in mind, guys, this is what Ben had to go through, what Ben and Ray must have had to go through to explain things to him. He said many times the reason why he repeats things to Gary is because he, when he was younger, needed to have things explained to him constantly because he was stupid. He is dumb. He is stupid. He knows that he's not intelligent. But this is beyond that. This is not him being too stupid. That's part of it, but it's mostly the psychological aspect of I'm not getting the answer I want, so I'll keep going until I do.
Yeah, he's refusing to acknowledge the explanation on purpose. Mm-hmm. Yep. And how Dr. Liu didn't stab him with the great Garlu is beyond me. I think that this, when Gary says, and he goes back to this stupid analogy, even though Gary obviously knows that this is not a good analogy. He obviously has to know this is not a good analogy. What do you want, the crusty pussy fucking juices from Carmen Electra, who wherever the fuck, on the Sibian? Yeah. Is that what you want to make it worth something, Gary? You want to talk about crusty pussy juice?
I guess
seriously.
So.
John, say we had 4 Sibians in case one breaks.
Yes.
So 3 are in a box in a closet.
Yes.
Is that a good way to characterize this?
No.
Yes, it is. Because you understand?
No, Iron Man movies.
Yes, listen to me. They're going to make more Iron Man movies. This is part of what the effects house has. They send it over if they need an Iron Man head. And it may have been made back then. I don't know. I'm just telling you. I'm so gun-shy right now, I don't want to say anything that I'm not sure about.
John.
I believe this Iron Man head was made after the movie. That's my belief.
There's an easy way to fix this, Howard. Send it back and put it in the next movie.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll
put it in the background of Cowboys and Aliens, and then we'll
Wait, John, is it possible that this Iron Man head was made after the movie?
It's possible, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's not the backup Sibian. It's a Sibian that
Well, that doesn't make John look good if he's trying to explain it away as something that was made for the movie, and now he's saying he doesn't know for a fact. But truthfully, I think he and originally and Ralph were correct. They do have to have these things made because it's like the same way they have multiple cars made when like Fast and the Furious, because the car has to match the look of the shot all the time. So they got one for the left, one side for the right.
He's getting tripped up because he's so worried about this pounce on him. And he explained it perfectly when he said, we had a truckload of these things made. We had the scuff marks made
everything
a certain way, the chrome made a certain way, everything made a certain way because we had to have backups. And his explanation was perfectly acceptable, and I understood it, and everybody understands it, except for he's getting tripped up because, but even more than that, Fillmore, he called another guy for the Senator Stern thing. So that's how you know that this is special.
Yep.
Came from the factory that could be the backup Sibian.
It was like the get the poison. It was like if the get the poison out guy handmade a Sibian and then handmade another one.
Right. Yes. That's right. So it's the same as the Paul McCartney guitar.
It's a handmade. No, it's not the same as the Paul McCartney
guitar.
And
in fact, it's not even signed.
That was signed.
It was signed. I love it though, and I have to sign. It's a value to me because you sent it to me. And I love the gift, and we should
never. Oh God,
John, do you regret sending anything to Howard at this point?
I'm a little.
Don't regret.
I gave. You know, I'm so neurotic. I'm happy I put so much thought into the wording of these notes because it's being scrutinized like the Torah.
Yeah, it is. It is. No, when I read the note a couple of times, I said, "Oh shit," you know, and I told Beth.
Oh, this is interesting. So Howard. This is the worst part about a narcissist. He's saying all these things that are trying to poke holes into something that John genuinely gave him that's genuinely good. Mm-hmm. And Howard's saying, no, don't feel that way. Like, you don't feel how I don't want you to feel right now in this moment, even though I've reduced you. Fucking made you go through all this petty shit, conversation after conversation. You are not allowed to feel the way you feel about this conversation. Do not feel that way. Do not feel the way you feel after I've literally badgered you to death.
Yep.
That this is from the actual movie. And I told the interior designer this is from the actual movie. And, you know, they were carrying on and mounting it and the whole thing. But I
should have lied.
I feel I have to continue to lie. Because
you gotta
I mean,
just
really,
keep it
why
quiet.
Why would I have an Iron Man head from really that was made after the movie?
See, John, if you just...
You're saying it definitely was made after the movie. I can't confirm that. This is what... Let's put it this way. When I went to Robert Downey's birthday party, when Iron Man came out, I talked to these guys, and I got the same thing, and Robert has that displayed in his house. That's the only ones that I know are me and you and Robert. It's a big deal. It's a handmade thing that's done.
Yes.
When they make them, this is another one in the run. Now, your big thing is when it was made. That's the big thing that makes you decide whether you're
right.
You know whether you should be happy about it or not.
I'm happy.
Maybe you want to feel a certain way, and you're finding things that help you feel that way.
This
is great because John actually brings up his therapy. So we're going to let this play out, guys, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, I have. And you know what? I think actually this is good that I care about this. I was excited it was from you, and I'm honest with people. I'm going to say, look, that sign appeared in the movie.
Yes.
And this Iron Man head was sent to me by Jon Favreau. And they're going to say, well, did that appear in the movie? And I'm going to say, no, it really... had nothing to do with the movie.
and I went through a lot too because now I'm realizing that I care about pleasing too much. I'm trying to accommodate. I'm making your neurosis my neurosis.
You're great. I love you. And I want to thank you. And I want to tell you something. I think Iron Man is a great, great movie. Both of them.
Thank you.
And you've directed something great. And I'm proud that you would consider me a friend. Thank you.
And I think we're enabling each other, though, Howard, because we're both feeding into each other's neurosis, and I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah, this is crazy. I love you, and thank you for thinking of it.
All right, I'm going to love.
No, it's Howard that's creating the neuroses in him, mm-hmm. which is understandable that he shouldn't play into. That's yep. his own psychological makeup that he has to deal with in being a people pleaser of some kind. But I just think, you know, I'm done with this.
Yeah. We are actually, guys, there's only one little bit. We're going to save it for a future, like Beth's secret stash. It's only like literally 2 minutes. I know. But we'll save that for another time. In the meantime, guys, we hope you've enjoyed it. I know it's a strange thing to say, but the clip we just fucking played, but we hope you did enjoy it. And we'll catch you on the next one. Take care.
Bye, guys.
You'll recognize
Katie Lang.
You'll recognize this Canadian.
Go ahead and sing a little.
Dreaming. I must be dreaming.
Oh, you know who that is?
Is that Anne Murray?
When Anne Murray, that's right. I look into your eyes.
About you have vibrato and everything.
It's very, very talented.
It's amazing.
Well, I am happy.
Heartbreak.
Oh, my God.
It must be heartbreak for you and I.
I can't even see your face. That's when I get
He's very serious. Feeling.